The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith. We are on Lesson 132, the Mass and Calvary. We have again two pictures. The first one is a diptych showing on the left-hand side Christ hanging on the cross and with the Blessed Mother standing beside the cross. And on the right side of the diptych, we have a priest offering the chalice at the sacrifice of the Mass. And between those two, we have God the Father in heaven with arms stretched into both diptychs, both pictures. The other image, perhaps it'd be easier just to read the description underneath it, says the illustration shows religious preparing wine for consecration from grapes. In certain places, special ceremonies attended by the bishop are held when the grapes are to be pressed. Okay, I think I neglected to read the caption under the diptych, the first picture. But that caption reads, "The Mass is the chief and central act of Catholic worship, the greatest act of worship that can be offered to God, an infinite ocean of graces for the living and the dead." Okay. First question, why is the Mass the same sacrifice as the sacrifice of the cross? The Mass is the same sacrifice as the sacrifice of the cross because in the Mass, the victim is the same. And the principal priest is the same, Jesus Christ. The Mass is the very same sacrifice which was offered up at the Last Supper and consummated on Calvary. It is the living renewal of the sacrifice on the cross. As Christ offered himself up on Calvary, so as the victim he is offered in the Mass. As on the cross his body was mangled and torn, so at the consecration he places himself as the victim on the altar, with his body and blood under the separate forms of bread and wine. At the communion, when the species of bread and wine are consumed, the sacrifice is accomplished, as it was on the cross, when at the moment of death our Lord cried out, "It is consummated." The Mass is no mere remembrance or memorial of Calvary. It actually renews, in the separate consecration of the bread and wine, the death of the Lord, the separation of his body and blood. At the Last Supper, after Christ had changed the bread and wine into his body and blood, he said, quote, "Do this in remembrance of me," from St. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And St. Paul adds, quote, "For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes," from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. At the Last Supper, Christ instituted a visible sacrifice, the Mass, in order to renew the bloody sacrifice which he consummated on the cross. The principal priest in every Mass is Jesus Christ, who offers to his heavenly Father, through the ministry of his ordained priest, his body and blood which were sacrificed on the cross. In both the sacrifice of the cross and the Mass, the same officiating high priest offers up the same sacrificial victim, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The priest saying the Mass is only Christ's minister and representative. He utters the words of consecration in the name and person of Christ, saying, quote, "This is my body, this is my blood," not "This is Christ's body," etc. Next question, is there any difference between the sacrifice of the cross and the sacrifice of the Mass? The manner in which the sacrifice is offered is different. On the cross, Christ physically shed his blood and was physically slain, while in the Mass there is no physical shedding of blood nor physical death, because Christ can die no more. On the cross, Christ gained merit and satisfied for us, while in the Mass he applies to us the merits and satisfaction of his death on the cross. Christ was immolated on Calvary once and for all. He is now in glory and can die no more. How then can we say he is sacrificed on our altars at Mass, and not only sacrificed once, but continually? The Mass is the realization in an unbloody manner on the very sacrifice offered up on Calvary in a bloody manner. On Calvary, Christ physically shed his blood. In the Mass, although the separate consecration reenacts Christ's death, there is no physical shedding of blood. Christ continues to offer himself as a sacrifice in the Mass in order to unite us with himself, to give us a gift worthy to be offered to God, and to make us share in the merits of his sacrifice on the cross. Through the Mass, the merits of the sacrifice on the cross are applied to our souls. The Mass, according to the will of Christ himself, is to apply through all time the fruits of the redemption made possible by the sacrifice on Calvary, which paid the full price of our redemption. The Mass, then, is in the truest sense the continuation of the redeeming sacrifices of Christ. It is the Mass that gives to us the fullest efficacy of Calvary. It brings Calvary within the reach of all souls in every clime and every age. Because of the Mass, here and now, we may offer up repeatedly God as our victim to God, partake of him for ourselves as a gift from the Blessed Trinity, and live in constant and intimate union with him. The sacrifice on Calvary was offered up by Christ himself to the Eternal Father. The sacrifice of the Mass is offered up by him united with us, as by our baptism we became members of his mystical body. Christ gave us the Mass as a visible sacrifice to continue his sacrifice on the cross until the end of time. The Mass is not a mere remembrance of Calvary. It actually renews Christ's death, continues his sacrifice, and is in itself his very sacrifice. That concludes the reading. Do we have any questions or comments? Okay, I think this is a very important point to emphasize. I don't know what the Novus Ordo definition is anymore, but I know during the Vatican II and the changes that were taking place immediately thereafter, the definition of the Mass became a memorial meal and more like a Protestant remembrance of Christ's Last Supper. I generally kind of cringe when I hear the Mass referred to as the Last Supper, or to say that the Mass was instituted at the Last Supper. And I think we need to understand that in a very broad sense. The Last Supper and the sacrifice of the Mass are not the same. They did not happen at the same time. If you look in your missals, you'll see that the Mass, Christ instituted the Mass after they had eaten. So it was very clear the meal was finished. After they had eaten, he took bread and blessed it and said, "Eat of this." And he took the cup and blessed it. This is not the Last Supper. The Last Supper has been finished. So it's not a meal, but it is a sacrifice. And I think this is very important for us to emphasize, that the Mass is the renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary. And it is a renewal, yes, in an unbloody manner, but Christ is made physically present upon our altar through transubstantiation. Christ comes, and the bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ, the living Christ, as we said in the reading there. Christ is in heaven. He died once. That was it. He's not dying again, but his sacrifice continues, and We are given the opportunity to participate in that sacrifice through our attendance at Mass, and we are given the opportunity to receive Christ in the Holy Eucharist in the Mass. And so this is Christ's way of remaining with us until the end of time, but also a way for us to unite our sacrifices, our offerings, with His, and thus make our sacrifices, our offerings, worthy to be presented to God, because they're not coming under their own cloak, but under the cloak of Christ's sacrifice, which is infinitely pleasing and perfect to God. And so I don't really know what the modernists say now. I know that they tend to flip back and forth for a while. They will say one thing or do one thing, and then they switch back and forth, as if it is really a matter of indifference. And to me, it is not a matter of indifference. This is something that is quite serious. I looked into a while back the words of consecration. The chalice is consecrated, is offered for you and for many, or for you and for all. That was a big talking point right after Vatican II and the aftermath of that. And not too long ago, I looked into it, and the Novus Ordo is now using for many rather than for all. So what is your complaint now? They're doing exactly what you wanted. My complaint is that they weren't doing this consistently, and that right now I look at it as seeing they are indifferent to the words of Christ, and to them it doesn't matter, and that's what is important. You can use the correct words sometimes and the incorrect words other times, and again, if they've invalidated the priesthood through the change of the rite of ordination, then it really doesn't matter whether these men, or the women, if I guess they're going to try and ordain them, use the correct words or the correct formula. If they're not priests, it doesn't matter. And so, really, right after Vatican II, I think the big difficulty was truly the sacrifice of the Mass, and rewriting the Mass so that it would be more acceptable to our separated brethren, the different Protestant denominations, who took offense principally with the word of sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Mass. And so the word sacrifice was kind of taboo, and everything was about a memorial meal. And then, of course, the altar was replaced by a table, because you have a table for a meal. You have table with your friends, and so the solemnity is gone. The kiss of peace becomes all important and extends out to the laity, and so right there in the middle of the Mass there is this embracing of our fellow Catholics so that we can all be one, and the emphasis is on the community and the fellowship and the sharing of a meal rather than attending a sacrifice or witnessing the sacrifice that is very sacred, solemn, and reserved. And so there is like this night and day with Vatican II. And it seems that as time progresses, they want to blur that distinction, that clarity that was so visible right after Vatican II. And so, yes, a lot of the argument against Vatican II stems from the changes that happened in the Mass. And for them to go back, I know that they have their indult Mass, that they have it in Latin, and they use the new Mass in Latin. And it's not Latin that makes it good or bad. It is really the changing of the words of Christ, the changing of the meaning, the definitions. If you change and say, give the Mass a definition as being a memorial of the Last Supper or a renewal of the Last Supper, that is something completely new and different than the Catholic teaching that the Mass is the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary. That the sacrifice of the Mass and the sacrifice of Calvary are one and the same act. We are not reenacting the Last Supper. What is reenacted here for us is the renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary, Christ's death on the cross. And it is not symbolic because Christ is really and truly present. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see if I can help out here. We have a question. It seems a contradiction in that it says it is not a mere resemblance, but it actually renews. He is physically present. It seems strange, but then it says Christ died once. He cannot die again. I guess I have trouble grasping the difference. Okay. I don't really know what to say here. It is not a contradiction. It is a matter of faith, which we believe, not because we understand it. Truly, the sacrifice of the Mass is a mystery, and that Christ is present on our altars throughout the world, but there's only one Christ. There's only one God. And that the renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary is what the sacrifice of the Mass is. It's not symbolic, because Christ is really and truly present. So we try to avoid those words of symbolism and these appearances, because we want to emphasize that Christ is really and truly present in the Holy Eucharist, and he is really and truly offered as a sacrifice to his Father. And of course, yes, Christ is in heaven. He cannot die, and it is really a mystery, a wonderful mystery for us to contemplate. I think I mentioned it in a sermon not too long ago, that Christ is alive inside the tabernacle, and he chooses to remain locked inside that tabernacle really 24/7. Whether people are there recognizing him or not, he is truly there. And I know it is difficult for us to conceive being imprisoned in a little box, aware of everything that's going on around you, but you choose to remain here in this humiliating circumstances. No matter how elaborate we decorate the altar or how much honor we show to Christ in the tabernacle, it is really humbling that God should reside here in our tabernacle. And it is not the dead body of Christ lying in the tabernacle as a dead body in a coffin that we're going to bury. It is Christ truly alive there in the tabernacle. And I think it's good for us to renew those thoughts, those ideas, that Christ is alive in the tabernacle. Christ is alive in the Holy Eucharist, and he remains alive in the Holy Eucharist when we receive him into our bodies in Holy Communion. And of course, as soon as the appearances of the species, the bread which we receive in Holy Communion, is dissolved and it no longer has the appearance of bread, then Christ is no longer present there, physically present. But it is in those moments that we are most intimately united with Christ in that Holy Communion, and it is at that moment that we should strive to hold on to that presence of Christ, if not physically, but then at least spiritually or supernaturally. And yes, it's a mystery, it's beyond our comprehension, but it is an article of faith which we believe, not because we understand it, we believe it because Christ has said it is so. It is Christ who said, "This is my body, this is my blood." Not this symbolizes my body and this symbolizes my blood, but this is. And this is his body, and because he died once and will die no more, it is his living body. So Christ is living in the Holy Eucharist. And that's why our Holy Mother, the Church, gives such reverence to our Lord in the tabernacle. And perhaps another reason why Catholics took such a great offense with the Vatican II when they moved the tabernacle off of the main altar and into a side chapel. And then eventually the tabernacle disappeared altogether, or the laity were going over and taking communion out of the tabernacle. The laity were giving with unconsecrated hands communion to their fellow Catholics. All that true Catholics found very offensive, because true Catholics understand this is the living body of Christ, which should not be touched, handled, or dealt with unconsecrated hands. And so really a lot of the traditions the Church had built up over the centuries, giving reverence and attention to Christ being really and truly present in the tabernacle in the Holy Eucharist, the Vatican II tended to just dismiss and throw out the window. I guess has been one of the talking points or one of the strong arguments that we have against the modernism, the Vatican II Church, is this loss of respect, reverence, and adherence to all those traditions, and then again to the very doctrines that Christ is really and truly present in the Holy Eucharist, and he is really and truly offering himself on our behalf as a sacrifice to his Father in heaven. Okay. Anything else? Comments? I think probably not anything really new for our listeners here, but at least we'll have a recording for others who want to listen. Okay, we'll end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et mania semper. Amen.